If you have been with us over the last couple of months, we've been going through the book of James with the series titled The Perfect Christian, and that's in quotes. This is the next to last in that series. Next week we'll be finishing out with You Got the Power. And then beginning with that, I'm going to do something different rather than going through a book of the Bible. I want to take some topics, and some of the topics I've picked because school is back in session, and there are so many emotions that go through us. One of the sermons is on a new life, which is out of Colossians. Then another one is on faith over fear. I'm going to do a couple on anger. Do one on forgiveness. There's two more in there. And then the final one, or close to the end, will be one that is probably the most sensitive of all, and it's on suicide and on mental health. And so I would appreciate your prayers for that. It is not going to be an easy subject, but it's one that the church has avoided for so many years, decades. We don't like to talk about it, and I think it's important that we do. So that's what's coming up over the next couple of months. But for today, I'd like you to, if you would, to turn to James chapter 5, and we'll read the first 12 verses this morning, and then I'll pray, and then we'll do the message. Look here, you rich people, weep and groan with anguish because of all the terrible troubles ahead of you. Your wealth is rotting away, and your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your gold and silver are corroded. The very wealth you are counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. This corroded treasure you have hoarded will testify against you on the day of judgment. For listen, hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated on their pay. The cries of those who harvest your fields have reached the ears of the Lord of the heaven's armies. You have spent your years on earth in luxury, satisfying your every desire. You've fattened yourselves for the day of slaughter. You've condemned and killed innocent people who do not resist you. Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring and the summer and the winter. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. For look, the judge is standing at the door. For examples of patience and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind in him to him at the end, for the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. But most of all, my brothers and sisters, never take an oath. By heaven or earth or anything else, just say a simple yes or no so that you will not sin and be condemned. Let's pray, please. Father, as we open your word up, would you please help us to understand? There are some times in the scriptures that we look and say, well, that doesn't apply to me, and it's easy to just kind of glance over it and move on. But when we think about it, every word is inspired, and every word has something to say to us. So I pray this morning that you will speak to us, that as we study your word, we'll find a glimpse of truth that's there that we can grasp and hold on to and then grow with. I pray, Father, that as I bring the message this morning, that we will only see Jesus and Jesus only, and he'll be lifted up and honored. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Bible is filled with straight talk. For example, you take the book of Proverbs. It is filled with words of wisdom, and it is especially fond of pointing out what a fool is like. If you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you will find Solomon writing basically his memoir. And as he writes his memoir, he talks about all the things that he's tried and how they are worthless And then he gets to the very end of his life and he says, vanity of vanities, it's all vanity. And so he tells us how worthless it is to chase things. Jesus often spoke in straight language. When he spoke to the Pharisees, to the religious fakes, he constantly told them that they were not the way they should be. Frankly, James is no less pointed in this final passage or in this next to last passage. And as he writes here, there are two groups of people that he confronts. Number one, he talks about those who are wealthy. And then he talks about those who are weary. And so that's what I want to do this morning, is I want to take a look at these two groups of people. And the first one I've called the wicked wealthy, and we'll open that up, and then we're going to cut to the weary waiter a little bit later on. That kind of like applies probably more to us than anything. But let's first of all talk about the wicked wealthy and the warning that James gives them. I wonder what kind of people James had in mind when he wrote this section of the book. He'd been talking about the poor and the downcast all the way through this book and how we treat them. And it seems as if he's about to lower the boom on those who are really wealthy. You see, Rome was a plutocracy. Now, plutocracy is rule by the rich. And so they controlled their lawyers like pawns, and then they caused great pains, especially for those who are called Christians, because they could persecute them. And you have to wonder if maybe these were the ones that James was reaching out to and using as his target. And I have a hunch that if you go back to chapter 4, verse 13, he says, look here, you who say today or tomorrow we're going to go to a certain town. We'll stay there a year. We'll do business there and make a profit. You have to wonder if James is kind of tying those two verses or this section and that verse together. And he's going to say, you know, some of you are arrogant and you're braggers and you think you have this. And I think what James is going to try and show is you think you are God. And you oppress those people who are not like you. And so James is very pointed about what's going to be said. And there are two things I think that James points out. Number one, he's speaking about the wealthy outside the church. I think that's important that we see that, because when you read chapter 2, James had talked about the rich coming into church and giving the place of honor, getting the seat of honor, and those who were less deserving sitting in the back. Those were people within the church. But here, I believe that James is talking about those outside the church. Because you see, in Roman days, the Roman rich people were landowners. And they were they had slaves, and they treated the slaves with disrespect. We would call that abusing them, or just exploitation. The rich are mentioned in chapter 2, and that is within the church fellowship. But now he's going to be talking about those who are outside the church and how they treat other people. In verses 1 to 3, look at the words again, how he describes them. Weep and groan. Your wealth is rotting away. Your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your gold and silver are corroded. Now, go back with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. You can see that verse up, those two verses up there. If you don't want to turn there, just listen real closely what Jesus says. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. I think it sounds a little bit like James has heard a little bit of what Jesus said back there at the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, store your treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be. So these rich people were exploiting their slaves. They were not paying their workers what they were due. And James is saying someday, I'm going to use my words, someday the piper's going to come for you. Someday you will get yours. But what James is trying to do is to tell them, okay, you think you got it made? Just wait. Now, if you go out to check out verses 5 and 6, it says, you spent your years on earth in luxury, satisfying your every desire. You fattened yourselves for the day of slaughter. You've condemned and you've killed innocent people who do not resist you. So James is kind of really like lathering it on. I mean, he's really laying it on heavy. But here's the issue. The problem is not wealth. The problem is greed. The problem is not wealth. The problem is greed. You see, wealth is a gift from God for some people. The problem is that sinful men and sinful women allow wealth to become the be-all and end-all. In other words, they pursue it. And like Solomon says in the book of Ecclesiastes, when it's all said and done, it's all vanity. It's all vanity. It's all empty. Okay, but I want to jump away from the wealthy people because I pretty much know that you are not millionaires and billionaires and like me, you struggle to make ends meet sometimes. So let's move on and let's talk about the words to the weary waiter. And what I'm going to be looking at is, in the very first sermon in this series, I talked about trials. And one of the things that we know about trials is that every one of us goes through them. There's not a one of us who can say, well, I've never had a trial in my life. I have no idea what you're talking about. If you are that way, please come talk to me and tell me how you did it, because I'd really like to know. They are inevitable. And no one will go through life without experiencing some kind of trouble. In fact, Jesus himself was persecuted and mocked. But he was patient under trial. Now, in addition to all the normal trials of life, these early Christians were experiencing something that no non-believer was ever going to experience, and that is persecution. In Bible days, if you came to Christ, you generally lost your job, you lost your income, you lost everything, and in many cases, they found themselves out in the fields. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, this is what's going to happen. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you're my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for great is your reward that waits for you in heaven. So Jesus promised that we would have persecution. Jesus promised that we would suffer trials. The sad part of it is that instead of saying, okay, God, we want to fight back. How many times have we heard about road rage gone wrong? Well, all road rage is wrong. But how many times have we heard it gone really wrong? Our belief system in our culture is revenge. It's kind of a wild justice. Or revenge is sweet. And so we have trouble with people who are making it difficult for us. Let's just put it mildly. We have problems with people who are making us struggle. In verses 7 through 12, James tells us, well, he tells us what awaits the rich, but now he gives us some practical advice for those of us who are waiting for a better day. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, that better day is not tomorrow. That better day is when Jesus returns. But he gives us three words of advice, the three things that we can hang to. Number one, be patient and endure. Verse 7, dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Tony Evans has a book on James, and in that book he tells a story about a man who went to see a doctor, and the doctor said, well, I have some bad news and I have some really bad news for you. Of course, you know, the guy gulped and he said, okay, what's the bad news? And the doctor said, you have 24 hours to live. And the guy said, that's awful. What's the really bad news? He said, I should have called you tomorrow. Or I should have called you yesterday. Sorry, I should have called you yesterday. Not tomorrow. I should have called you yesterday. Well, I messed that one up. That's why I'm not a comedian. Sometimes I think we agree with that, don't you? That life is like that. One day is bad, the next day is even worse. We need patience to hang in there, to not give up. When things are going downhill and we want to just throw our hands up in the air and quit, we have to understand this big thing. God's timing is not our timing. God's timing is what we want. Now, the context of this passage can't be missed, because given the persecution I've already mentioned to you, the Christians were being exploited. They were not being paid. They were not being taken care of by those who owned them. Now, I want you to see something else that he talks about. He tells us to be patient. He said, consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the field in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Let's take it and make it a little bit more appropriate or applicable to us. Let's suppose, and I know we have some farmers, some of you guys farm, some of you guys garden, okay? Let's suppose that those of you who are farmers went out to your field and you started walking through the fields and said, okay, guys, listen up. I want you to start growing and I want you to have a good crop. We would think something is wrong with that farmer. Or let's suppose that you have a garden at home and you get down on your hands and knees and you give, okay, guys, you got to really grow strong. Do it now. Do it fast. Hurry up. We'd think something was wrong with them too, wouldn't we? Because you see, it doesn't work that way. You plant the seed, then you wait, and you wait, and you wait for the harvest. And that's exactly what James is saying. As you go through life, we're going to have to endure. We're going to have seeds planted. And sometimes it's going to be tougher and tougher. But James is saying that we need to be patient. For one, he says we need to be patient for the Lord's return. I don't know how many people I've heard say, boy, I wish Jesus would hurry up and get back here real quick. I've probably been one of them. But the truth is, I have no control over that, and neither do you. But what I do have control over is being patient while I wait. No amount of begging, no amount of pleading is going to have Jesus return any quicker than he's already planning. So there's your first one. Be patient and endure. The second word of information or word of advice he gives us is in verses 9 through 11, don't grumble about each other. Brothers and sisters, or you will be judged, for look, the judge, is standing at the door. That takes the fun out of life, doesn't it? Not supposed to complain about each other. I mean, if we can't complain about other people, what else can we do? Right? Actually, it's just good common sense from James. In those situations where everything is tense and everybody is edgy, nothing makes things worse than complaining and grumbling about each other. You know, I'm going to be honest, whenever I'm around somebody who's constantly complaining and constantly griping and constantly complaining, especially about another person, you'll find me scarce. Because I do my best to walk away. I don't want to hear that kind of stuff. The Greek word for complain or grumble means to groan within yourself or to sigh. Here's what it means. Groaning within yourself is an internal thing, right? But what often happens with internal things? They become external. And so we keep it inside us until finally we're like a volcano and we spew it out and we grumble about somebody, we complain about somebody, and then we ruin everything. What's interesting is James gives some example. First of all, he talks about the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord, and we could name prophets, but let's add some others that are not listed here. How about Jeremiah? Jeremiah stood up, and because of that, he went to a pit. How about Daniel? Daniel found himself in a lion's den. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They found themselves in a fiery furnace. How about Peter? Peter found himself in prison. How about Paul and Silas? They found themselves in the dungeon. In Acts chapter 12, James, who was John's brother and one of the apostles, found himself at the end of a sword. All because they tried to be patient and endure. And that's what he's telling us to do. Be patient and endure. And don't grumble about each other. And then James adds another example here. He talks about Job, who was patient under all kinds of suffering. Okay, so there's one more word of advice. Don't swear. He says that in verse 12, but most of all, my brothers and sisters, never take an oath by heaven or earth or anything else, just say a simple yes or no. Now, I want to clarify something. By the context of this is by swearing, that is not talking about dirty talk. It's not talking about filthy jokes. It's not talking about using the F word and the four-letter words. It's not talking about that at all. Instead, he's talking about taking oaths. Like you would say, I swear to God. Or he would say, I swear on my mother's grave. Or cross my heart and hope to die. That's the kind of swearing he's talking about. The Greek word for swear literally means to grasp something firmly for the purpose of supporting what you're saying or doing. So when you say, I swear to God, you're actually grasping something to say, I'm using God to support what I'm saying or doing. And he's saying, don't do that. You see, in biblical days, they didn't have written contracts. What they did in biblical days was their word, was their bond. So what James is actually saying is, don't take an oath to a false god. Don't take an oath so that you can hurt somebody. It's not wrong to take an oath in court, but what he is trying to tell us is that if you swear fealty or loyalty to somebody or to some god or some organization, James is saying that's wrong. What he is basically telling us is let your yes be yes and your no be no. In fact, Paul says the same thing. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And I will simply say this. Your word should be your bond. Folks, if you make a promise to somebody, keep the promise. That's what James is telling us. If you make a promise, keep the promise. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Okay, so let's recap this whole thing with four main points. These are the highlights that we said. Number one, the problem is not wealth. It's greed. You can have a lot and give away a lot. or you can have a lot and be selfish. You can have very little and still be selfish. Number two, be patient and endure. Remember, Jesus is going to come back. You can't rush that. Just be patient and endure. Number three, don't grumble about each other. We talked about this last week, and I received a fantastic text from somebody who thanked me for this. I'm going to say it again. Stop the grumbling. Stop the complaining about each other. And number four, don't swear. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. Be a person of your word. And if you say you will do something, do it. Your word should be your bond. So James talks to the wealthy, and he talks to the weary. I'm not wealthy, but I am weary. And so I could take his words and apply them, and so can you. Let's pray. Father, would you go with us this week and help us as we try to live for you? As Travis has pointed out, help us to be the light, to be a light on the hill. Help us to be the kind of person that reaches other people no matter who they are. Help us to reach people no matter where they are in life. Help us to show that Jesus was not picky as to who he accepted, as to whom he accepted, and neither should we be. Help us to love and help us to live lives that are consistent with your word. Even though we're tired and we get weary and sometimes we wish that Jesus would return right now, help us to be strong. Help us to be patient and endure. And Father, help us to be people of our word, to let our word be our bond. And when we say something, people know that we will do it. Thank you for loving us, and go with us this week. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's do our blessing, please. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord be smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Thank you for being with us today. Have a great week.